Phil, I'd like to pass the floor back to you for a final summation and then a call to our reception.
Yeah. So I'm not going to take a lot of time because I don't want to get in the way of you going to the reception. But there are a couple of things that I think really are worthy of highlighting. The first, and it is really, I think, the first words that David said, is seen in the importance of this idea of mediating resource-related conflicts. The countries who are asking for help from UNEP are the countries that are the most conflictual, but producing the most migrations that are coerced one way or the other. And to say that it's not relevant, it just seems like putting our head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich. Even if we just look at climate change, what do we know? We know, first of all, it's going to affect rainfall, water. We know, second of all, it's going to affect food security. But we also know that it's going to affect environment and resource extractive industries in two contradictory ways. On the one hand, what happens? Well, things like lithium and other rare earth metals suddenly become very, very important because that's one way of mitigating or reducing the impact of industrialization on the climate. The other thing that we often forget is, what would happen if we were an oilless world? Saudi Arabia would be in a big mess, and so would a lot of other countries, because of the huge impact, economically speaking, that resource extraction has. And so either way, we're going to likely see, and this is what we know, more conflicts. What we don't know is where they're going to be, what their intensity are, and how we can intervene most effectively to ensure that mediation is most to ensure that climates don't escalate beyond our control. The second thing I want to emphasize is that for all of the panelists, it's quite clear that mediation is a process. And while the handbook is extremely useful in setting out the basic guidelines for what that process entails, it's also clear that the success of the process depends on knowing the context, being inclusive, being respectful of differences, and making a genuine effort to ensure that all voices are heard so that we can get to the root cause of the problem. It also means that, as the participants also said in different ways, the immediate conflict is often something that emerges because of underlying conflicts. And that has two important things that need to be emphasized from my perspective. The first is you can't ignore them. And so whether we're talking about migration or whether we're talking about conflict over the distribution of water or whatever it is, there's usually something more structural, more long-term underneath that. And to ignore that ultimately means that the effectiveness of the mediation will be limited. But at the same time, it also underscores the importance that mediation as a process is ongoing. It may never end, but it's the process itself that is often just as important for averting conflicts and minimizing violence. The fourth thing I want to say is asymmetry of power. And as Louis says, it may be less asymmetrical now than it ever was before. And to the extent that's true, we still should not forget that different kinds of power are often incommensurate. And so what does mediation do when it works in the way that the guidelines suggest it should? What it does is it levels the playing field, but it also helps make protests in some way commensurate with the power of economics, the power of knowledge, or other sources of power that different actors can bring together. So what it does is not only necessarily address direct asymmetries of power, but it helps make different forms of power commensurate and frames them in a way that, again, is intended implicitly, if not explicitly, to minimize future conflicts and to minimize violence. And I think, finally, the last thing that we must remember is that what goes on locally has important implications nationally, but also internationally. And so while mediation often starts at the beginning, the world we live, as a U.S. congressman once said, all politics is local, the ramifications of that from the bottom up are often something that we forget. So when migrants leave because the community that they are living in is no longer hospitable towards them, automatically they start affecting other communities, and ultimately they may affect other countries with tremendous international implications. And so the importance of mediation begins where people live, but it extends all the way up to the very top, if you will, the pinnacles of power. And it's for all these reasons that I think we're at the moment of a real important opportunity for a collaboration between a university like McGill, an institute like the Institute for the Study of International Development, the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism, and an organization like the UNEP. Because these complex issues require multiple disciplines, a long-term approach, and a recognition that we can't expect everything to change tomorrow, but with patience and following a good process, we're more likely to prevent tomorrow from being as bad as it might otherwise be. So with those words, I want to thank again the participants for a really enriching and enlightening and provocative series of presentations. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us in this conversation and welcome everyone to join us for a little bit of wine, cheese, and good conversation. So thank you all.